New Perspectives Open Pitch presents Memoirs of a Little 'Un, a 10-part collection of heartwarming stories and reminiscences of growing up in rural England during the 60s by Chrissy Payne. Part 8, A Special Engagement.
No one is more surprised than Mother when my elder sister Denise announces she is going steady with Brian Lewis. He really was, believe it or not, the boy next door, and as a youngster had been the bane of my sister's lives. Hardly a day would go by without one or all of them starting a sentence with, "You'll never guess what that Brian Lewis has done." He let down their bicycle tyres whenever he saw them propped up against the garden wall, and delighted in chasing them down the street with big furry caterpillars, and finally disgraced himself, having conned an invitation to my sister Valerie's birthday party. Mother enters the room with a lovely iced birthday cake from Strickland's, the baker's, and before Valerie has a chance to blow out the 7 little pink candles, Brian stands up and announces he wouldn't eat any of the cake as he'd seen a big blue bottle fly, Bob, on it. This, of course, leads to a mass refusal from the infant guests, all decked out in their party frocks and matching hair ribbons, to have any of the cake. Mother is furious and Brian is sent packing. Fast forward 10 or so years and the ghastly boy, who had made just William seem positively angelic, has matured into a rather nice chap, and now he and Denise are an item. They look lovingly at each other as she calls him Luby and he calls her Nishi. My sister Susie says, "Yuck! I preferred him when he chased us with furry caterpillars." It comes as no surprise to the family that they announce their engagement to coincide with Denise's 21st birthday on June the 4th, 1968. Now, this date just happens to clash with a gig that my sisters Valerie and Jackie don't really want to miss. During the 1960s, my older sisters lived for pop groups, Miner's Makeup, hair colourants and Bieber fashions. If they couldn't afford the latter, they would run something up on our ancient treadle sewing machine. 2 yards of orange fabric is transformed into a mini dress by mid-afternoon. Denise is particularly handy with the machine, usually deviating from the dress pattern. She adds her own little designer touches. A bit of fringing here and there, or a hole cut in a midriff, all trimmed with contrasting binding. "You'd better not let your father see you wearing that," my mother exclaims with eyebrows raised to the roof. If Auntie Mildred was visiting us, as she frequently did, she'd reach for her smelling salts as my sisters parade by her in their latest creations. Auntie Mildred had been born in the early 1900s and hasn't moved on from her own style guru, Mary Pickford. It would be hard for any young person today with a passion for popular music to imagine just how accessible the big names of the day were. No huge stadium concerts then. Bands worked hard, touring the country, playing small venues, building up a fan base and promoting a record that might just make the charts. My sisters saw the lot. Some very talented, who didn't perform beyond the 1960s, and others who became international stars and are still performing today, such as Van Morrison and Stevie Wonder, to name but two. Stamford Drill Hall is the venue for a gig that my sisters particularly want to attend, as they have seen the band a couple of times before and really rate them. They were making steady progress in the charts and were known as the Marmalade. Valerie sends a letter, as you often did in those days, saying how disappointed she and her friends are that they couldn't be there due to a family commitment, but hopes they'll have a great night and wishes them continued success. The night of the party duly arrives. It's a lovely, warm June evening, and our old garden looks at its best. Rambling roses as old as the house itself scramble over the walls and reach the bedroom windows. Lilacs, so fashionable back then, filled the borders. Some pale blooms, white doubles, and some as dark as amethyst. The rooms bulge with guests, and entertaining doesn't seem to be such a stressful affair as it is today. Beer has been delivered from the local brewery, Ruddles, and an assortment of drinks are provided for the ladies. Babysham, Cherry B, Shinzano, together with little jars of sliced lemons and glacé cherries. And in pride of place is our plastic ice bucket that looks just like a big pineapple. A buffet is set out in the dining room with plates of homemade sausage rolls, vol-au-vents and wedges of pork pie. All very beige, but will soak up the alcohol nicely. The centrepiece is a large hedgehog, created out of an upturned melon with spikes formed by wooden cocktail sticks, crammed with cocktail sausages, cubes of cheese and pineapple and strange little silver skin onions. I make a beeline for the other end of the table, where there are sherry trifles and dainty chocolate eclairs made by my eldest sister Jean, who was a most wonderful cook and now married with a family of her own. The mahogany chiffonier groans under the weight of the various engagement presents, with lots of stainless steel egg cups and toast racks, pairs of embroidered pillowcases, and a Whitney wool blanket from Auntie Doris and Uncle Nobby. The gifts are much admired by the older guests, and the universal verdict is one of "youngsters today have never had it so good," which is intended as a compliment rather than a complaint. My wonderful aunts and uncles, and there were many of them, had lived through a depression, seen their own fathers fight a senseless war in France, and then answered the call themselves to take up arms again 20 years later. They felt they had endured all of that for occasions such as this. By now, the party is in full swing. I loved these occasions, although by rights I should have been packed off to bed, being the little un. But there was no way I'd fall asleep with all the noise and excitement. The radiogram goes into overdrive as a little stack of 45s play one after another. We dance to the Kinks, the Faces, and of course, the Marmalade. Even Father and the older family members get a look in now and again when the Tommy Kinsman band get played. Young and old take to the floor, and even Aunt Mildred taps her good leg in time to the music. I'm not sure who answered the front door and was surprised anyone heard the doorbell above the din. But I will never forget the look on everyone's faces when the members of the Marmalade walked into the room. Their gig has finished, and Dean Ford and the band have taken up the offer to call round if they were passing by. When Valerie had extended the invitation in her letter, she never thought in her wildest dreams that anything would come of it. They are all such lovely young men. My granny is convinced that band member Pat Fairley is in fact her grandson. Pat is very gracious and takes it all in his stride. Father thinks they are splendid and for once doesn't even mention hairstyles. They spend time looking over our extensive record collection, and naturally, we play their own numbers on the radiogram. They stayed a couple of hours on that hot June night of 55 years ago, and next morning it was only the sight of party debris with paper napkins blowing around the garden and the ice cubes as water once again in the big plastic pineapple ice bucket that convinced us all that it had really happened, and it wasn't just a dream. Nothing much happens in our little market town. So, of course, by the following Friday, the visit is headline news on our local newspaper. The Marmalade achieve the recognition they deserve. And in the following year, 1969, they have a smash hit with Reflections of My Life, both here and in the US, and become the first ever Scottish band to reach number one in the UK charts with Oh Bloody, Oh Blada. Even father sings along. Luby and Nishi are married the following May. I'm sure the wedding must have clashed with some gig or other. Perhaps Frank Sinatra playing the Albert Hall? But no letters this time. We just concentrate on being bridesmaids instead. The end.
A Special Engagement by Chrissy Payne was performed by Juanita McMahon, with sound design by Adam P. McCready, supported using public funding from Arts Council England. It's produced by New Perspectives Theatre Company's Open Pitch, a unique community programme that showcases extraordinary stories from across the East Midlands.